Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As the New York Giants transition into year 3 of the Brian Daboll, Joe Shane era, we start year 6 of the Daniel Jones era. And one thing that we know for sure is that he is the most polarizing player on this team. I am joined by the very own Big Dash Knows, and we are going to unpack why this young man is so heavily scrutinized and so equally heavily loved. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. I've got a giant issue. 3, 2, 1, go! And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to A Giant Issue. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for making me your first listen or your last listen of the day. Make sure that you like and subscribe all the places that you can like and subscribe. Make sure you download, send it to a friend, do all those beautiful things. I am joined by the one and only Big Dash. Big Dash, hey, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. Just did some school shopping for the kids because, you know, over here in Arizona, they start school next week. So, you know, just ran some errands. I was chilling. And, I'm doing pretty good, man. Thank you for having me. And much appreciated.
Absolutely. I thought you were a good person to talk to about this because you've been bringing up what's been going on with the fan base and how the fan base has been receptive to Daniel Jones over the essentially since he's been drafted. What was your stance, or what did you think about the pick of Daniel Jones when it first came down?
Yeah, I keep it real with y'all. I was a Haskins guy that year. I was Dwayne Haskins, you know, RIP to Dwayne Haskins, but I was heavy Dwayne Haskins. And when they had it was getting close to the draft. And I remember hearing rumors about Daniel Jones, you just brush them off. Like, those are just rumors. And when it happened, I think, like, we've seen compilation videos. Like, I think everybody was shocked. Everybody was floored when we actually picked Daniel Jones. And, that was the initial thing. And a lot of people were upset. Me, I think I put out a tweet like, you know what? Pretty much just prove me wrong. You know what I mean? How I feel about you, Daniel Jones, right now when you got drafted to the Giants, just prove me wrong. And, you know, let's see what happened. But that's where I was at. I was upset about it.
And RIP to Dwayne Haskins. Yeah. I think one of the interesting things that I saw about the draft and when Daniel Jones was drafted and what turned me off to the pick is that it seemed as if the Daniel Jones selection came based off of the recommendation and evaluations from the Manning family and their kind of their sphere. I can be honest and say I was looking for the flaws early, right? Yeah. Because I thought there were flaws and I wasn't looking for the positives necessarily. I was looking for the flaws. And I think that if fans are just honest about what side they were on to start with, it would make this conversation a lot easier to have in Big Blue Nation, but people don't want to be honest about it. Like, the people who hate on Daniel Jones act like they gave him a fair shot from the beginning, and a lot of them didn't. I know because I remember the tweets. You know,
Every time
he did something wrong, it was a magnifying glass on it. And then subsequently, every time he did something right, there was a magnifying glass on that as well.
Yeah, no, I got to take myself back to that time. At that time, when they were talking about, you know, Cutcliffe being his coach, and he also coached Eli and being at the Manning Academy and all that other stuff. At that point in time, I was over Eli Manning. Like, I was over Eli Manning too at that time. So I didn't want anything to do with a guy that was even familiar to, you know, to or similar to Eli Manning. So when we got him, you know what? Same thing. You know, I had my thoughts already predetermined. And I was like, you know what? 6'5", 235 pounds. You know, that's Eli Manning. Then you hear him talk. You're like, oh, my God, that's Eli Manning.
Eli
right?
Manning. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, you see him play. Then, you know, I went back once we drafted. I went back and watched more and more tape, and I still wasn't impressed by it. Still wasn't impressed by it. And then, you know, the season happened. We lose the first two games. They throw Daniel Jones in there. Tampa Bay game, comeback victory. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I like what I'm seeing. I'm going to shut up. The guy can run. The guy can throw. And you know what? I started giving him that chance. And I actually liked what I saw a little bit outside of the fumbling issues. But he was a gunslinger where at that time, Eli was check down. Eli is what we would call him at the time and everything. And just seeing somebody take the chances down the field, ultimately, if you fast forward to now, he's not taking any chances down the field. And it is what it is. But I've been back and forth on Daniel Jones for a while now. Like I said, when we first got him, I was down that first season. I'm like, okay, I can see some flashes here. I'm jumping ahead.
I want to break this thing down into three sections. I want to break it down into Pat Shurmur, right? So he had a year with Pat Shurmur.
Yep.
That was the year, in my opinion, where he showed the most upside. But he also showed what he could be on the other side. Like, you got the full spectrum. I think that the Pat Shurmur year is where the division in the fan base really came. Like, that fissure that we have between the people who love Daniel Jones and are going to rock with him until the end, and the people who have been out on Daniel Jones almost from the moment that he was selected. I think that Pat Shurmur year really set it up, because you saw a guy that had the capability to push the ball down the field, but it also came with turnovers, right? Yeah. It came with turnovers, and then he compounded it by also adding in the fumbles.
Yeah.
So now we move to the second phase, which is the Joe Judge phase, where I believe one of the reasons that we saw what we saw outside of injury was a level of conservativeness that made him gun shy to turn the ball over. And we all know that if you're afraid to make a mistake, then you don't take the risk that's involved with the big play. What were your thoughts about Daniel Jones, and what did you see in the community during those Joe Judge years?
Yeah, I'm glad you reeled me back. You reeled me back in because I was ready to go. So going from Shurmur to Joe Judge, and I'll just start from the beginning of Joe Judge. When we got him, another one of those times where you're like, you know, who is this guy? Like, we knew he was getting an interview. We knew he was coming from the Patriots. But then when he actually got the job, you're like, okay. And then you heard him speak. He's saying everything that you want to hear, you know, and things like that. So, you know, it was one thing. But once Garrett came into the picture, because I always believed that Garrett wasn't Joe Judge's pick. I think that was a John Mara pick. They forced him on the Judge because he was a first time young coach, head coach. And Garrett's just floating there because the Cowboys let him out. And so, you know what? Let's go ahead and bring this guy in here. But you kind of have some anticipation because of what Garrett did with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys and Tony Romo before that. And then you just see, well, to your point, you start seeing the conservative play from Daniel Jones. You start seeing all the hook the curl routes that they're running. And you're like, okay, well, year one, you got a guy that's fresh. Yes, he had the turnover issue, but he was letting the ball go. Then you see the first year of Joe Judge where, okay, now you're being a little bit more conservative. We see that you're leaning on Saquon Barkley, but not even that much then, because Saquon Barkley was involved in the passing game, you know, in what was that, 2020 and 2021, those 2 years. And but you never seen him really stretch the ball out too much. There was some games against the Pittsburgh Steelers he was able to hit. Slayton deep. Slayton was always, you know, his security blanket. But yeah, you start noticing that the offense is not looking like, first of all, not looking like how Dallas looked. First of all, that's one thing. And we can throw in a couple different factors of why that happened. Offensive line is always going to be an issue here. And another reason why we have this divide too, is that there's a lot of fingers to point in a lot of places, but you just start seeing that difference where he's holding on to the ball a little bit long. You know, you don't see that same type of tenacity. He can still be tough and stand in the pocket. That was never an issue. He was standing and throw it. And then you're starting to see just the checkdowns and not trusting himself and waiting a little bit too long to let things go. And you're starting to say, like, well, you know, what's going on? And I argued with people then, like, you know, just give him a chance. You know, we had last year. He probably reads and watches sports media. He knows about the turnovers. He knows about the interceptions, the fumbles, and he's just being more conservative. But you just they took that gunslinger out of him. If I want to blame it all on them, they took it from him. I'll leave it at that for that point.
Yeah. So what I would say, and I think this is lost on the development of Daniel Jones, the Joe Judge years never got legit Saquon Barkley. Remember, first year he gets hurt.
Yep.
Gone. Yep. So now that offense that Jason Garrett is used to running is predicated on having a running back that can make things happen. So Jason Garrett came here thinking, I've got an Ezekiel Elliott plus, right?
And
now he never gets an Ezekiel Elliott plus. I am somebody who admittedly does not put all of the blame on Jason Garrett. Because again, this same offense that everybody in New York said was trash put up major hella numbers in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
So is it the offense or is it the pieces? Last time I checked, Jason Garrett doesn't get to pick the groceries as the offensive coordinator, right?
True.
Boom. Okay, cool. Now that doesn't equate to big wins. But I'll say this, and it gets lost because there wasn't a lot of winning, right? The Joe Judge years were a lot of competitive games.
It was.
It's a lot of competitive games that they lost. And why did they lose them? Because the quarterback made critical errors in a conservative offense. That always rung, and it was one of my major indictments on him. Like, bro, this is an offense that is predicated on you just getting the ball out of your hand and making plays, right? Like just getting it to the people, the playmakers, letting them go to work. And in the most critical moments, you always made the wrong decision, right? Like,
no, that's the way to look at it.
Or in the critical moment when you did something well, you did something foolish, like try to run over defensive players and get hurt. Like, what are we doing here? You know, and so I think from that standpoint, not having a Saquon Barkley, you know, essentially for either one of those years, because the first year he was gone for almost every game. The second year of that, he got that injury that had him out for what, 6 to 7
the ankle
game stretch.
Yeah.
So like they didn't get a lot of Saquon Barkley in those years, and magically the next year when Saquon's healthy and has his best season since his rookie season, the Giants have their best season, and Daniel Jones has his best season. So that brings us to the current era, right? That brings us to the Brian Daboll era.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you're not following him, by the way, make sure that you follow him on anywhere that you can go, but definitely on X, because we over there getting it live on a regular basis at Big Dash Knows. That's BigDashKnows. If you are watching on YouTube, you can see it up there. If you're not watching on YouTube and you're listening wherever you get your podcast from, make sure that you check him out.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talk about the Brian Daboll era. When Brian Daboll came in, everybody had hailed it as he's going to do to Daniel Jones what he did to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I just want to get what you thought about that when you first heard everybody saying that he was going to turn Daniel Jones into Josh Allen 2.0.
Yeah, so you figure when we hired Brian Daboll, Joe Shane came in, Joe Shane, then Brian Daboll, we were coming off a 4-win season, and I remember saying to people, like, just thinking about the coaching staff, Brian Daboll was a hot name at that point in time, like a very hot name as an offensive coordinator. And I remember people asking, like, what's your prediction for the season? I'm like, well, I think the coaching staff alone gives us at least 3 more wins on top of the 4. So I'm like 7-10, this, that, and the third. I'm pretty much thinking it's going to be like, I want an open competition between Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor. Cause like I said, at that point in time, I'm through with it. And I remember even like Tyrod Taylor would post on Instagram, and I used to be like, how many weeks? you think before you take over and stuff. I never got an answer from him or anything like that, but just throwing things out there because that's how through I was with it. So I think that's where the energy came from. Like, it was more about the coaching staff and not knowing what the offense was going to look like. And I was like, you know what, we can catch people by surprise. And I always had faith in that first game against Tennessee. I'm like, somehow I think we can beat Tennessee. And Tennessee was a contender the year before.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? They don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. I think we can go in there and win. And the offense was a little dead in the first half. Like, it was a big running play by Saquon Barkley that really turned things around. People forget about that a little bit. Daniel Jones did have the deep pass to Sterling Shepard. That was one thing. But it was like a different type of energy. And I think it was more about the coaching than it was, you know, a lot of the players. And just getting back to, all right, there's some excitement here with the New York Giants. Okay, what can Daniel Jones do? And I found myself being, okay, here comes Daniel Jones, to like, okay, here comes Daniel Jones. Let's see what he can possibly do. And you see us start winning games. And next thing you know, we're 7-1 and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, even though he wasn't putting up crazy numbers, at that point in time, it was all about just winning. I don't care how we do it, if it's a defensive game, if it's a slow game, if we're just bleeding out the clock and doing things like that, controlling the game with a run game, I just want to win. And that's what my feeling was in 2022. I just want to win. So when a lot of people were complaining about the overall stats, and I don't want to get too far ahead, and is Saquon Barkley carrying the team? And I remember arguing with people like, but what about, you know, like, Saquon Barkley was a big part of this offense, but like, when you look at Daniel Jones, you know, extending plays and getting first downs with his own legs, I'm like, yo, this is a team effort. It's not just Saquon Barkley. And I'm giving Daniel Jones, you know, some credit because he was responsible for the Carolina game. He iced that game with a first down run. And you know, pretty much. So I'm like, nah, you know what? I like what Brian Daboll is doing. I like Mike Kafka. It looks like there's some energy to this team. And I was ready to ride at that point in time. And we were winning games. So I think the energy was good there. But it was always, you know, people saying, you know what? This is cool and all, but Daniel Jones is not putting up these, you know, no crazy numbers. And I'm like, listen, man, we winning games. This is his first year. You know what? Are they dumbing down the playbook? Possibly. But as long as we winning, I'm all right now. And that's kind of the feeling that I had. But there was always, even when we were winning, there were always people chirping. And I think, and it's funny too, because I've been a Giants fan for a long time, right? I don't know any other football team in my opinion. And it's just like, at the end of the day, would you rather be right, or would you rather the New York Giants actually win games? And I think a lot of people were so stuck on being, well, I just don't like the guy, or he's not any good. So when he was doing good, they just gave everybody else credit. So I think that's a lot. That had a lot to do with the 2022 season.
So you make good points about the fan base. And I want to lock in on Jones, because it's what we're here to do. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I heard you talk about people were saying it was Saquon, you know, mm-hmm. carrying the team. I want to point you to the one thing that I feel like is an indictment on Daniel Jones from that 2022 season, because I'm with you. I don't really care how it gets done. Right. Yeah. Winning is the point. I don't care how it gets done. But this is what Brian Daboll and the arrival of Brian Daboll was supposed to mean. And by the way, this is what people are still putting on Brian Daboll, because all of a sudden it was 2023 was Mike Kafka, but 2022 was somehow Brian Daboll. 23 was Mike Kafka, and so now 24 is going to be Daboll again. They're putting elite level offensive genius on Brian Daboll. Now, I looked at it and went, they're doing what they need to do to win. That's get the ball to Saquon Barkley by any means necessary, right?
Yeah.
First nine games, they go 7-2. Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley is having an MVP level season. Saquon mm-hmm. Barkley gets hurt, starts having to like manage his body, not at the tip top shape that you would like. And in the back half, they win two games.
Yep. Nope.
To me, this is the indictment on Daniel Jones. It's the thing that people who don't like Daniel Jones point to. And it's the thing that people who love Daniel Jones, just gloss over, right? Because they only look at the wins in those games, and more specifically, the playoff win and how Daniel Jones played in the playoff win, while forgetting all about the playoff loss. So if you look at the people who hate, on Daniel Jones, the people who hate on Daniel Jones says, well, look at what he did once Saquon got hurt. Like, look at what the team did when it was Daniel Jones' team again. And then the people who love on Daniel Jones go, well, look, he didn't have any weapons, and so he did the best he could. And then you get into the playoffs, and they go, well, look what he did to the Minnesota Vikings, who had, by the way, the worst defense in the NFL that year. And then the people who hate Daniel Jones say, well, look what he did at Philly. Do you find yourself, like overcorrecting at times when it comes to Daniel Jones, like almost wanting to give him even more benefit of the doubt than you would just because you feel like you've been hard on him, or vice versa? Do you find yourself being more hard on him because you were rocking for him for so long? Like, where do you find yourself at this point as a Giants fan, and what do you think the tipping point is in 2024?
Yeah, so I'll run down the timeline. So I started not being a fan of Daniel Jones when we drafted him. Then I was encouraged by his rookie season. And then I was out on Daniel Jones again 2020, 2021. And then in 2022, I was surprised by it. And then going into 2023, this time last year, I was out the window. I was like, you know what? I saw what we did. I was going off of the Minnesota Vikings game. And when you talk about that Philadelphia Eagles game, yes, Daniel Jones did a horrible job. But I remember at the coin toss, and it was Brandon Graham barking at the coin toss. And I'm looking at the Giants. Dexter Lawrence is standing there. You know, the captains are standing there, and nobody is saying anything back to him. And I just remember, like, I got more energy than the Giants got in this game. And then, you know what, we got our butts whooped. And I just was like, you know, okay. And then I said, I drink the Kool-Aid. I'll keep it 100 with you. I drink the Kool-Aid. I'm thinking, okay, you know what? He did what he could do behind this offensive line. Saquon Barkley was great. We got him tagged. He's not really happy about it. But you know what? He turned down some money. We pick up Darren Waller. And I'm like, okay, so for me, I'm like, you got Darren Waller as a substitute to not having a real wide receiver one. But what I liked about Darren Waller is like, okay, if you use him correctly, you attack the seams. You attack the seams, that opens up everything underneath. And in my head, we got Jalen Hyatt. You know, we're getting Wandell Robinson back. I'm like, okay, the offense is making sense. And then what was it, September 10th? Dallas 40-0 in the rain. Barkley sitting on his butt in the rain, shaking his head after the tip interception for the touchdown. And I'm like, wow. You know what happened, and I find myself again. I'm sitting here like, okay, yes, I know the offensive line is not playing, did not play well. You know, you got guys picking up off of the couch. You know, we're not utilizing the wide receiver, but I found myself with less and less grace for Daniel Jones. I was at the San Francisco 49er game, and I remember sitting next to this family of Giants fans. And I would see, like, yo, like, Hyatt is open. Hyatt is open. And like, why isn't he throwing the ball and stuff like that? And we didn't have Barkley because he hurt, you know, he got hurt in Arizona. But I just remember, like, you know what? I'm starting to get sour. And that's when it started. And then by the time we got to that Seattle game and that rookie picked him off and took it to the house for that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I think that, you know, he's the Achilles heel to, you know, for the Giants. No matter how I felt about 2022, when you went to expand this offense, expand the scheme, you know, give him a little bit more, I guess, room to make plays. When you open up the full, he couldn't excel in it. And then that's when another split came where it's the offensive line. You know, he still doesn't have a wide receiver one. And I remember one argument because obviously we had the whole Tyrod Taylor and the whole Tommy DeVito thing happen. And I was like, well, they seem to be making better decisions. They seem to be getting the ball out a little bit quicker. And even if it's not a completion, you know what? They're able to, you know, throw it into the stands. You know, oh, no, the offensive line is just playing better. I'm like, huh? The offensive line is
playing better with the backups, huh?
Playing better with the backups.
And the people that's off the street, they're just playing better.
You know, but Andrew Thomas came back. I'm like, yeah, Andrew Thomas is just one person. I go from 2023 back to 2022 now because I feel in 2022 where it's like, can Daniel Jones even do something? Should it be an open competition between him and Locke now? How I felt it should have been with him and Tyrod Taylor. So that's where I'm at right now. But again, I'm a fan at the end of the day. I'm going to ride with the New York Giants at the end of the day. And if I'm going to fast forward all the way, when I watched Hard Knocks and Joe Shane said, it's Daniel Jones' year, I said, you know what? There's nothing else I can do about it.
Here's the interesting thing, and I want to, and we got to get out of here. But the interesting thing about all of this is that when 2022 happened, they said, well, Daniel Jones won, and that's why we needed to pay him. And nobody stopped to say, yo, if Tyrod Taylor was in here, would we have done about the same thing? Like, was what Daniel Jones did and what he brought to the table, was it that much better than what a healthy Tyrod Taylor throughout the year would have been able to do? And I think based off of what we saw in 2023, the answer is no.
I say if his name was James Earl Jones instead of Daniel Jones, he wouldn't have got that chance. He wouldn't have got the chances that he got. He wouldn't got the chances. But I will say this. At the end of so Joe Shane got here. He didn't pick up the fifth-year option. Outside looking in, he already knew Daniel Jones wasn't in. That's my opinion of it. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option.
They knew.
After 2022, you put yourself between a rock and a hard place. And this is why I say I might not have agreed with it, but I understood why they did it. And I'm just thinking, if this is your first time being a GM, and by the grace of God, you go to the playoffs. And yes, Saquon Barkley is a big, big part of that. Daniel Jones, you know, it's also, we can say it with one, is still a big part of that because he is the quarterback. And I think that, yes, and a lot of people, hindsight is what it is. A lot of people say, yeah, nobody else would have gave him a deal. Nobody else would have signed him. And I always push back, like, if Saquon would have signed that deal at the bye, Daniel Jones gets the tag, and then none of this stuff exists either. But I just think with the New York Giants going to the playoffs, and not only that, winning a playoff game, it became too hard for them to make that decision. Because had you let Daniel Jones, you know, test the free agent market, and possibly if he was able to, you know, get a deal somewhere else, and you go into 2023. And you have the same exact thing happen, and Tyrod Taylor's the quarterback, then it's a whole nother issue. It's going to take something astronomical for me to be back on the Daniel Jones's, bandwagon. Again, I'm going to root for the guy because I'm a New York Giants fan. That's what it is. But I got the side eye on him for sure.
And that's really what it is. At the end of the day, if you're a New York Giants fan, that should trump everything, right?
You would think so.
Because you want the Giants to win. Rooting for the Giants to lose just so you can get rid of Daniel Jones is probably some of the most sucker stuff I've ever heard in my life. I wanted to say something else, but I ain't gonna say it. But
yeah,
that's
you.
That's some real lame stuff right there. I don't know what type of year he could have that would allow him to keep his job after this year.
And it would have to be the NFC Championship, in my opinion. It would have to be that.
Hey, NFC Championship game, and he keeps his job. You heard it from Big Dash. Put him on record. NFC Championship, and he keeps his job. Hey, Big Dash, I appreciate you joining me, man. Tell everybody where they can listen to your work or watch your work or follow you?
Yeah, so first off, thank you, Coach. And like I said, anybody with Coach in front of their name, I give them the utmost respect, man. The utmost respect. Absolutely. I had some great coaches coming up in my life, and I just appreciate guys that pretty much, you know, grow the youth. Like from Pop Warner all the way up, man. Like I said, if you got some good coaches in your life, it takes you past the game of football. So I appreciate you for having me. I appreciate you for what you do. And like I said, Big Dash knows on all social media platforms except for Facebook. I got to get that figured out. But yeah, that's where you can find me at, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Make sure you go and subscribe to the YouTube channel, Big Dash knows over there, and see all that content. That's all the time we have for today. New York Giants on SI. I want to thank Big Dash Knows for joining me. Make sure you follow him everywhere at Big Dash Knows. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to the New York Giants on SI's YouTube channel. That way you can hit that notification bell and you'll know every day when I have uploaded another edition of this podcast. Until next time, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.